Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
His first Super Bowl was the 9/11 Super Bowl.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'll tell you, what Tom Brady just did gives me goosebumps.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Brady goes out there and wins the Super Bowl.
Today's guests, Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira, Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud, plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, welcome to our neighborhood. It's a Thursday, and the Super Bowl's too damn far away for us. But so much to talk about on this 3-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel here in Los Angeles, California, along with our friends on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and all of our friends on terrestrial radio listening to us coast to coast. We say hello to you, also to our podcast listeners. Yeah, I'm starting a live show by thanking people who are listening to us later on whenever they want, because you are just as important to us taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, just as you hopefully do every single day, all 3 hours available in podcast form. We say hello to you, Chris Brockman. What's going on over there,
hey,
brother?
Hey, Rich, it's Groundhog Day.
It is that.
I'm watching it right now. I'm not really paying attention.
I understand. It's truly one of the most rewatchable movies ever.
Perfect movie.
Good. What's up, Mike Del Tufo? How are you?
Good morning, Rich. How
Mike
you doing?
Mike Del Tufo woke up today, and he's reliving every single day of his life.
Groundhog Day.
The ones that include the ones that are on the Rich Eisen Show right here.
Yes.
Good. And did you see your shadow today, Mike, when you got out?
When I come out, no, I actually didn't see my shadow. So okay, I believe great. That we may be, winter may be done.
Unfortunately,
here.
The real groundhog, referred to by Pat McAfee on his Twitter, on his Instagram account, is that rat. Because it saw its shadow, meaning 6 more weeks of winter. Oh, my gosh. At any rate, I don't know what that means. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle, sir. What's going on over there?
And the candle's lit. You know, growing up in Altoona, I spent like the first 11 years of my life really believing that this little groundhog controlled the weather. And when I found out he'd see, I'd be like, 6 more weeks? Come on, man.
Where is Punxsutawney in relation to Altoona?
I want to say
where
it's...
Where is it? You don't know?
I used to know.
Do you need to map it? You got to map it?
I'm sure, you know, when I was 13, I knew where it was, but okay. I haven't really thought about Punxsutawney much lately.
Well, there we go. It's that day. It's Groundhog Day. So in that respect, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers' future.
I know. About an hour and 15 minutes to Punxsutawney.
Now, which way?
It's west. Northwest.
Northwest. Okay.
So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers' future. Why don't we? Because why today of any day? It is Groundhog Day. But when an athlete tweets out, I got time, ask me anything. You're like, oh boy, this can go in any direction. And I saw it yesterday, a little too late, about 2 hours later. Davante Adams, the great receiver in Las Vegas, Nevada, who had another terrific season personally, but my gosh, did the Raiders disappoint. My number one, top of the list, king of the hill, a number one leader of most disappointing team in the NFL this year. And yeah, part of that is born out of the fact that when Davante Adams arrived, along with Chandler Jones and Josh McDaniels was getting his second crack at being a coach in the NFL. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, Belichick's second crack was much better than his first. And his first, he actually made it the playoffs for the Cleveland Browns, right? Yep. I'm thinking maybe he's got a touch of that in him. Never know. Nah, Tyreek Hill's going to Miami, and maybe Kansas City could get God. I made them at least Kansas City a wild card team in my predictions. But I said the Raiders would win the AFC West, one of the worst takes I've ever had from this chair into this microphone. Why am I reliving it, you say? Well, it's Groundhog Day. Also, I'm reliving it because Davante Adams was asked in his Ask Me Anything on Twitter, I'm bored, Ask Me Anything. He was asked the question of where is Mr. Rodgers, where is Aaron Rodgers' neighborhood next year? Great question.
Great question.
And he wrote, mine. Okay. Now,
Big Ben GIF. Oh.
Now, does that mean Rodgers is actually in the process of figuring this thing out? For Adams to say that? Is it wishing it? Is it speaking it into existence? Is that what it is? Is it wishful thinking? Is it speaking it into existence? Or, heaven forbid, actual knowledge? Because I'll tell you this, that for the Packers to actually trade him away, for the Packers to send him, if you will, packing, which Adam Schefter has reported not once but twice over the last two playoff weekends on ESPN, two times, 2 weeks in a row, talking about the possibility of this happening and how the league, around the league, from what he's hearing, ear to the ground, thinks that this is entirely possible, if not, if you will, likely. I mean, and this is obviously the guy who first reported on that draft day in Cleveland a couple years ago that Rodgers had told the Packers, I'm done with you. Not playing another game for you. Well, eventually he did, but there was a ton of fire behind that smoke on that draft night that set off a million alarm bells and totally overshadowed the first round of that draft that night. So, if it happens, first address that you got to think of, it's an American Football Conference address. He's not staying in the conference. We saw it before. Favre wound up with the Jets. He kind of, you know, hung there for a year. It was kind of like his base camp for a year where he did all sorts of stuff he shouldn't have done, including not winning. And then wound up in Minnesota. Not saying that's going to happen with Rodgers. This whole business of going to the Jets. Come on, man. I'm just not going to go there. Why would he do that? Why would he go to the exact team that Favre went to, number one? And number two, the Jets, I don't believe, you know, as much as I love Garrett Wilson and as much as I love Breece Hall and as much as I love that offensive line and defense, I mean, if you're sitting here thinking, where can I go in the AFC and your favorite receiver of all time raises his hand on Twitter and is like, my neighborhood he's coming to next year, mine. Like, he can now flat out say this about Rodgers now that his buddy, his BFF from college, Derek Carr, is no longer coming back. Why wouldn't he choose Vegas over the Jets when he's got Davante Adams there? Are you kidding me? And Renfrow and Waller and Crosby and Chandler Jones, and you mix and match a little bit here, and you've got yourself a championship roster if Rodgers shows up, I would think. Why wouldn't the Packers, if they want to send him somewhere, send him to the AFC West? Get him out. Get him out. Send him. Reunite him with Davante Adams. Go for it. And why wouldn't Rodgers want to try that? I don't know either. You know, you get him alone, have him. Give him some tea, as was once said to me in a SportsCenter commercial. Give him some tea. Give him some tea. And I don't know. He's from Chico, California. Did he like the Raiders growing up? Did he have some sort of – usually, you know, I'm from that area, Chico, Redding Market. That's where I got my TV start. There's a lot of Niner fans there mostly, but there's a ton of Raider fans up there. I have no idea. I have no idea. This one caused me to kind of – stop, pause, rip the needle off the record. And again, I know it's just one answer, hit send, mine. That's my neighborhood. So if Rodgers does go anywhere, why not there? I have no idea about the cap, no idea. You know, would the Raiders do such a thing? Why wouldn't they? Who's their quarterback going to be? Jimmy G? Wouldn't you rather have Rodgers right now? Rodgers and Adams, there's no... You know, having a, you know, fly somewhere in Southern California or somewhere to have some sort of get to know you, get down the same page, you know, like last year with Derek Carr and him. The question is, would McDaniels change any of his spots to accommodate Rodgers? Because you'd have to. And this guy doesn't seem, he seems to have, this is my way, this is the Patriot way, this is this way, and what, I have no idea. Yeah, this is all just
Coach Rogers hard.
This is all just speculation here. I don't know, but why wouldn't, what, if Rogers is looking at the AFC and who's got a shot,
right.
Tennessee has a job open, potentially, right? Maybe. Indianapolis has a job open.
For sure.
At quarterback.
New head coach, though.
Who else has a job open in the AFC? Because this is where the Packers would send him. The Jets would absolutely. I mean, Namath is like, take my banner off the rafters and give it. You put it on, Aaron. I mean, who else? The Raiders. Bingo. Devontae Adams is there. Bingo. And if this happens, it's kind of like that line from back in the day. If this happens.
Oh, no. Don't do it, Rich. I care about you.
Nudge him, because he's not paying attention.
Godfather wants.
Yeah, my God. I even talked to him about it. What are you doing? You're doing your checking? Your banking? What are you doing over there?
No, I'm not doing my banking.
Okay.
I'm actually doing something for the
Super
Bowl,
Rich.
If this happens,
hit it now, Mike. Go for it. Oh, my God.
Now we're holding. Oh, God.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
It's Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day.
They're going to pull you back in, huh?
I can't go there. For crying out loud, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. What the hell's the matter with me?
Hey, but the Chiefs lose. Maybe they don't look good in the Super Bowl.
No, stop
and you're
it.
Like, they're not
stop
as
it.
Good as they thought.
No. I'm not going there. I won't go there.
You got a great point, though.
Rodgers shows up there.
Hell yeah, you're back in.
Adams, Waller,
Renfro. They might have to trade Waller.
You think?
Why would they do that?
They need the
cap.
The salary to offset the cap space to match Rodgers' number for next year. They would have to include some players back to Green Bay.
Oh.
So Jordan Love would enjoy Darren Waller in green and yellow?
I think so.
Uh-huh. I don't know, man. I saw that and I thought to myself that this is entirely feasible. That's the one.
Oh, that would be a fun spot.
Could you imagine the AFC West now?
Well, let's go. Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Now we have Aaron Rodgers back with Devontae Adams on top of maybe a Super Bowl champion, Patrick Mahomes.
And then Justin Herbert like, hooked up to the mastermind of the Cowboys offense, Kellen Moore.
Let's go.
You think last year's hype for the AFC West was through the roof? This is actually new and improved.
Yeah, it's even better.
With all due respect to Derek Carr, I should have front-loaded the whole conversation that way. So, Groundhog Day, back on the Raiders.
Love it.
Groundhog Day. But lots has to happen between now and then. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, we got
Devontae Adams, his thumb just hits the word send on one word mine, and it just sends everybody a little nutty, including me.
Well, didn't Rogers say 2 weeks? He's going to decide in 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. We're still waiting on what? Trump's medical plan? Is his health care plan? It's every 2 weeks.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm sorry I went there. Everyone says, you know, a bunch of people say it's 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. We'll see. But it's going to have to be 2 weeks for him. He's going to have to know. He's going to have to say. I mean, guys, the combine, we're already, NFL Network, we're already making plans for the combine. It's the end of the month. And then two weeks after the combine is the new league year. Like, this is coming right around the corner.
I was watching Senior Bowl practice last night.
Derek Carr's contract, and what the Raiders have to do with it is a couple of days after the Super Bowl. I mean, this is coming fast.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Lots to talk about today. We have Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times joining us. I'm wondering, you know, what they were thinking about, you know, yesterday in Tampa. So reached out to him. He's always been great talking about Brady. And what is their plan? Is it Derek Carr? Could they possibly stick with Kyle Trask? What are they going to do? What's their plan? What was in the drawer for Jason Light, the general manager there, to pull out and say, this is our new plan? And what are they going to do at offensive coordinator? I mean, would you take that job not even knowing who the quarterback is? I mean, this changes a lot of dynamic for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he'll be joining us on this program. Also on this show, remember the other day, I'm like, hey, I need Pereira. I need Pereira now, and I need him to explain to me what the hell was going on with the officiating this past weekend. And so Mike Pereira is going to join us. He's going to join us next. I'm not going to wait for another second. What in the world did happen with the officiating this past weekend? Because the video assist, replay assist, whatever you want to call the entity that the league refuses to call a sky judge, which is the home office of the NFL having full feed of all the cameras that Fox had and CBS had on the championship games, which I think what the grand total would be 45 easily to 50 cameras, yeah, on the games. And all those cameras are fed to the league headquarters, and they're racking back the video in real time pretty much to see if a ball needs to be spotted, if this ball actually hit the ground instead of a catch. And it's not their job to chime in when Devontae Smith makes a one-handed grab on 4th and 6 and they're rushing to spot the ball. Or is it their job to chime in? There's really no hard and fast rule that fans know about. Shouldn't they chime in when Marquez Valdes-Scantling reaches the ball out and then pulls it back in, says, I should get a first down, and then the Chiefs are like, wait a minute, are you going to chime in or not? I guess you're not. We'll have to call a timeout. We'll challenge. We're correct. We now no longer have challenges for the rest of the game because we got the first one wrong. We got the second one right. And I thought replay assist is set up for you to save us a challenge. And the reason why I bring all this up is because this is going to be crucial for the Super Bowl. Let's know this going in, because it sure looked like that assist from the league office, from entities watching the game outside of the stadium, we saw a lot more of them chiming in the wild card and divisional round than the conference championship round. I got a ton of people tweeting me saying, did you notice that or not? Well, I'm like, yeah, I did. I wonder what Mike did. And he's going to be sitting next to Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson for Super Bowl 57 on Fox, giving us the 2 cents on these calls as they happen. So he's going to join us. We've got Rick Stroud joining us. Also, Kyle Shanahan has chimed in on his quarterback situation. He and John Lynch had their end of the season press conference yesterday, the coach and GM of the 49ers. We'll let you know what they had to say about their quarterback situation. We're going to the Super Bowl next week, and our first scheduled guest for that week when we're there on Wednesday. Don't worry. We'll have full complete coverage throughout the entire week. On Monday, our first guest is J.J. Watt. He's going to, I guess, welcome us to Arizona in advance of us going to Arizona physically. But our first guest in studio when we're at the Super Bowl experience next week for Roku and our terrestrial radio audience and our Sirius XM Odyssey audience, it's going to be Trey Lance. So he's first up. And then, by the way, an hour after him is Joe Montana. So we might as well front load that conversation with what the coach and general manager had to say yesterday. But when we come back, Mike Pereira, the former head of NFL refs, currently the Fox Rules analyst on Fox, he's going to help us set the table about what we saw last weekend and what we may see next weekend. Answer a lot of your questions from last Sunday, that's for sure. Mike Pereira when we return. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. People who get enough quality sleep have more energy, better muscle mass, and improved muscle memory. That's a fact. Those are facts. Did you know, however, that 8 out of 10 couples prefer a different mattress firmness? I know it because I know my Sleep Number setting. It's 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart. But our Sleep Number smart bed lets us adjust the firmness on each side and change it to whatever we like. Sleep too hot or too cold? You're not alone. Sleep Number has innovative solutions also, from temperature balancing bedding to the new Climate 360 smart bed that actively cools and warms on each side to keep you sleeping just right. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? So you can be at your best for yourself and those you care about most. And now it's time for the ultimate Sleep Number event. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed plus special financing. Only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com/Eisen. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network is rejoining our Roku broadcast right now. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, why don't you? I've known this guy forever and a day. He was one of the originals on NFL Network when he was just the head of NFL refs going through all the plays for you from the previous week's events. And if that official review segment on NFL Total Access existed today, I would have this man on and ask him every single question I'm about to ask him. He is the head rules analyst for Fox Sports and will be in the booth for Super Bowl 57. Our friend, former head of NFL refs, Mike Pereira, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great. Great. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, man. Let's just jump right into it. Officiating last weekend was right in the crosshairs. And I'm just wondering, did replay assist, which again is the New York City based office of the NFL officials who are watching the game and monitoring the game and chiming in about correcting certain rules, calls that were made on the field, was that used less this weekend than the first two weekends of the playoffs? Because that sure looked like the way to me, Mike.
I thought in some cases it was overused. I mean, I guess if we go back to the Devonta Smith play, you look at that catch, and they were just like the rest of us. They were scrambling and had about 10 seconds to try to find the one shot that showed that the pass was incomplete, and they couldn't find it. So therefore, they couldn't stop it, much just like Kyle Shanahan couldn't get a shot that he thought was conclusive enough to risk a timeout. And you know, they're like producers because they might have 20 different camera angles, but you've got to find the one in such a short period of time when the Eagles are rushing up to the line of scrimmage that they just couldn't find it in time. And they're not going to stop it. They can't stop it to try to find the shot. That's not within their rights. They have to see clear and obvious video footage that says that the call was wrong in the normal play clock time before the snap. And so it's kind of one of those deals where the Eagles win by going quick. And maybe that's something that you might have to look at because it doesn't seem really fair to me.
Because in college football, they'd have stopped it, right? College.
In a second.
Right.
In a second.
But so why?
I think maybe as much as you and I have talked about, you know, this eye in the sky, the sky judge,
right,
the video assist, the expedited review, I think in some ways it's not fair, and we need to look to make it fair. And maybe that's going toward the college system, that you are allowed to stop it on big plays where you don't know. And that's big play, fourth down, you know, in the first quarter. Fourth down play, change of possession, that was a huge play. So, you know, if I'm a Shanahan or any coach in any situation right now the way we have it, you know, I hesitate because New York has the opportunity to stop it themselves and change it themselves. So, you know, I don't want to risk a timeout if New York is going to stop it. So you've got that question that falls into it. Overall, the system is good, Rich, but, you know, it's still new how they're using this, but it still it brings up some inequities that I think need to be looked at.
And I'm glad you started with the Devonta Smith catch. It was basically the first big play of championship weekend and the first controversial replay, I guess, involved a decision of the weekend where the coach, Shanahan, you said, didn't throw the challenge flag or call a timeout to take a look at it and throw a challenge flag, and a replay assist didn't chime in. And you're saying, again, the reason why they didn't chime in is they didn't get a shot fast enough, even though they're getting it in real time. And they're not allowed to stop it. They can't stop play to take a look at something yet. That is essentially
correct.
What you're saying. Okay.
That is correct.
So then let's move a little forward and more forward in the game. I know for a fact SkyCam has its own feed, and I imagine Replay Assist would as well. How could they not see whether a punted ball hit the SkyCam wire or not?
Well,
Mike,
the thing is, you have to see it hit the wire, right? You have to see it hit the wire.
But wouldn't the camera jostle? Didn't the camera jostle? Wouldn't it, you know what I mean, if it hit a wire?
The camera didn't jostle. I mean, there was no camera movement. Now, they are not necessarily going to see that. We could from the truck, and there was no movement of the camera, which would be maybe the best indicator that it did hit the wire. But, you know, you watch the trajectory of the ball, and you watch the reaction of the players, and you think that it would have, but, you know, they couldn't see it in New York in any of their shots. And you don't, obviously, you don't have camera shots focused on the wire. And we had two overhead cameras in that game. And so it's kind of one of those things. It's unusual, but everything about this past Sunday was unusual, it seemed. And that's kind of one of those deals. The rule was put in that you'd have a do-over if that happens.
Right.
It basically came because of the Cowboys scoreboard. That's when it was put in. But it's one of those where there's no official that's looking up at the flight of the ball. They're focused on the players and not the flight of the ball and the blocks during the kick. It's just one of those things that was weird that just couldn't be proved. But, you know, even as I speculated in the booth, the reaction by all the Eagles players sure made it seem like it must have hit the wire, but you just couldn't see it.
There's a couple other ones to hit you on from Championship Sunday. Mike Pereira here on the Rich Eisen Show. I feel like we're back on Total Access back in the day as I walk through all these official review segments here like we were doing back in the day. That was great. The play in Kansas City and Cincinnati, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is reaching for the first down line. He reaches the ball out and pulls it back. Two things here. First one, why didn't Replay Assist chime in there? Reed had to call a timeout and then throw the challenge flag. Why didn't they chime in there? Isn't that exactly what they're there for?
Yes, that is. I think it was a really close play. You had to determine, did they actually give forward progress? Did you have forward progress on that play? But to me, that was an example of one that if you had the clear shot, which they did, to get to the solid line, the hash mark that showed that he reached that line, then, you know, you should be able to change that. But let's you know, we've talked about this before when it comes to a full-time sky judge. We're taking steps and we're getting there, but it's still new. And when you have championship weekend, you know, everything's a little bit, there's always more pressure tied into it. And sometimes you may not do something that afterwards you think you should have, but that is one where I do think they probably could have jumped in and saved the challenge. And that, even that statement there bothers me, because if you save a challenge for one team and don't save a challenge for another,
right?
And you have the ability to do that, that's a bit of inequity, and that's the thing that does concern me to a degree. But in that one, I do feel they could have made the change.
Yeah, and then the question is, though, because I got a lot of rule book experts on my Twitter feed saying, like, a first down line to gain is not like breaking the plane of the end zone. That the fact that Valdez-Scantling pulled the ball back means he shouldn't have gotten the yardage. Is that true or that's not true?
Well, that's not true. I mean, if it's a goal line, the play's over.
Right.
I mean, that ends. It doesn't end in the field of play. But if you are in contact with a defensive player,
yes,
then you get the forward most progress spot. It doesn't end at that point, but it's treated completely different than the goal line plane. So that the only question becomes actual progress. Where do you reward award progress? So that's the forwardmost point of the ball when in contact by a defender, and that is reviewable only in regards to the line to gain, the first down line or the goal line, but it is two different things.
What happened on the play in Kansas City where it looked like the Bengals are getting off the field? They stop on third down. Hold on a second. The play has to be replayed over again because it was whistled by one official all the way in the secondary because of a play clock issue, something like that? What happened there?
And again, now this is why I said at the beginning of the conversation, I mean, I think at times it was overused, this video assist. They adjusted the spot of the ball late in the play clock. They adjusted it by a half a yard. So they had the line of scrimmage official come in and move the ball a half a yard. I mean, and so then they have to reset the play clock because the play clock was too low. So they reset the play clock, stop the game clock, and then all of a sudden they have to make it. The referee, Ron Torbort, has to make an announcement as to when to start the clock, and depending on who's, you know, you hear what he said, you know, start the clock on my signal. The timer did it. It wasn't supposed to run. And then the side judge comes in and, you know, it's so loud and he's not in there very quickly, but it becomes, you know, a redo, becomes a mess. And that's overuse of this video assistant. Why are we moving the ball a half a yard when it's third and nine? I mean, I get it if it's third and one or third and a half, I get it there, but third and nine and you're going to move the ball half a ball length or half a yard, with the play clock running. I mean, that's mismanagement of it, which creates a fiasco. And with all of the stuff that happened this weekend where, you know, the officials are targets, I mean, that's one that's self-imposed because it's not using common sense. So I think in some cases we have to be patient, I guess, and trying to get the system to where it works smoothly and try to get the advantages and disadvantages out of it. But I guess you just have to take your lumps. But that to me was just not well handled
at all.
So
you're saying that moment in a championship game where a head coach is being told by officials, we have to replay this down, that you think brought about a punt, that you aren't off the field, you're actually still on the field in this game. That domino effect started with a replay assist to try and respot the ball by a half yard, is what you're saying.
And then, of course, what happens? I mean, then, of course, it's the typical the way of thing when things went for officials. So what happens? They never had a play, so they just void the play. So what happens on the next play? Oh, they sack Mahomes. Okay, well, okay, good. Uh-oh, defense holding. Now Kansas City ends up getting the first down.
But then they did not score. They did eventually punt. But, of course, you know, time's taken off the clock and field position changes. I mean, everything does affect everything else. And obviously Kansas City wound up having the ball last. That was a good flag on Joseph Asai for shoving Mahomes, in your estimation?
I mean, I feel bad for the kid. And, you know, he tried to say he was trying to, you know, push him backwards so the clock would remain running. You know, he was just a kid that was in a chase. And I mean, I feel bad, but there was contact and both feet were down out of bounds. You know, I would say this, that if they didn't call that, there would be more controversy than there is now with the fact that they did call it. It's one of those that are clear cut. Now everybody wants to go back to the play and say, oh, well, the left tackle held, and on the punt return there was a block in the back. You know, I get it. I've looked at both plays. I mean, they are both kind of iffy plays, but the fact of the matter is, you know, at the end of the game like that, especially when it relates to player safety, you want to call what is there. And and to me, that was a very clear foul.
Okay. So to wrap up the conversation, Mike Pereira, what do you think the conversation is amongst league management, Carl Sheffers, who's the head ref of Super Bowl 57, Walt Anderson, who's a successor of yours in the role of being in charge of officiating, Troy Vincent in charge of operations and football operations. What is the conversation being had about replay assist and about the officiating this past weekend, knowing the conversation that surrounded officiating coming out of Championship Sunday? What are they talking about going into the big game?
Well, I mean, you're going to give the same old conversation, which is officiate the game as you would during the regular season. This, you know, the talk about let's not call fouls, let's let them play just doesn't happen. But the conversation will be had about, you know, there's added pressure on it now. That's just the way it is. When you get into the playoffs, what you do in the regular season officiating-wise is forgotten. And often what you do in the playoffs is forgotten if the Super Bowl goes smooth. And so there's that added pressure of that. But I think one of the conversations will not be so much with the officials on the field. It's going to be with that use of video assist or expedited review. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we make sure we don't overuse it? I mean, I don't think there's been an issue in my mind about underusing it. I mean, because they have changed things when they have the time to do it and when they have the clear shot. But let's not get involved with, you know, changing things that really don't have impact on a play. If they award a first down and you've got a clear immediate shot that it's short by half a yard, change it. If you've got a sideline catch that is ruled a catch for a 15-yard gain and you've got a clear shot that the second foot never came down, change it. But if you've got a yard off on a punt return, or if you got a yard off on a spot out of bounds when it's going to be 3rd and 9 versus 3rd and 8.5, don't get involved. Let's concern ourselves with the flow of this game and not get overly involved with the outside sources, with the replay official, the video assist, New York expedited review. Let's use some common sense.
Okay. And then
let's hope, by the way, for the Super Bowl that the chains don't break for the
what
third
was that?
Time in the playoffs.
What was that?
Holy cow. Come on. I think I'm becoming now an advocate of let's get rid of the chains and go to digital. Even though I love the old guys running out and putting the old stakes down in the ground, but twice it breaks in the playoff and we have to unravel an alternate set of chains. Let's just don't have that.
Well, I mean, let's just have an alternate set of chains unraveled on time, right? I mean, it's the Super Bowl. Like, what other game? What other game are we waiting?
Two sets
for?
Of down of linemen and chainmen right. on the sideline.
And then, of course, the news from Wednesday that Tom Brady's retiring, and again, we assume he is coming to the booth, and if that does happen, he'll be next to you. Do you have any history with him at all?
You know, one time I was really kind of excited because one time when I was the head of officiating, I went to a game in Foxborough, and Brady came on the field as he does, running out in the field and kind of runs around the perimeter of the field. And he was running toward me. I was just standing there, and as he ran by me, looked at me and said, "Hi, Mike." And that was it for me. I felt like, well, Tom's my best friend. So that's the relationship, I have had with him so far.
That's it? Okay. And now, did he know you from your work on NFL Network, do you think, with you and I chopping it up? What do you think?
If he would have stopped, he would have said, "Hey, Mike, I'm telling you, Total Access with Rich Eisen was like the best video of all time.
Laugh.
It must see. I used to sit and watch it all the time."
Laugh all you want. All the players did watch us chop it up on official review because it was so new to have the head of NFL officials, the sitting head of NFL officials, talk about the controversial plays from the previous week. That's a fact. I remember Matthew Hasselbeck was so upset after Super Bowl 40 that you didn't make your usual appointed round right after the Super Bowl, and he thought it was because you were ducking it and that we were hiding it because we were the NFL's channel, is how he called me at the Pro Bowl. He was so upset, and I think it's because you went on vacation as scheduled, but then you did it the following week, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
Mike.
24 hours, well, less than 24 hours. I think it was about 20 hours after the end of that game I was in Costa Rica. So nobody knew how to find me. And when I did come back to the league, and Greg Aiello said to me, "From now on, you might think about waiting a full day before you go on a vacation."
I remember that, man. See, I remember it, and the players watched it. They watched it. They saw it. you know. So
well, in reality, I think you have to take some credit too.
Oh, I'm doing
although
that.
People may not like this, but you know, have to take credit that really when it comes to the NFL, you were my first foray into television. I mean, the Fox people who I worked with each and every year, but mm-hmm. not on television, you were the first time that you were the first person that I got involved with in television. Mm-hmm. So probably I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And so people can blame you that I am here.
I will take all the calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show, like yours right here. Thanks for the call here, Mike. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Have a great Super Bowl. That's Mike Pereira, former head of NFL officials. Now the man who will be making sure all the rules and calls of Super Bowl 57 are straight and narrow right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, I remember Super Bowl 40. It was in Detroit, Seattle versus Pittsburgh. That was the one where Ben Roethlisberger was ruled scoring a touchdown, and his helmet crossed the goal line, but the ball never did.
He still hasn't scored.
There was also a huge play in the red zone to get deep in Pittsburgh territory for Seattle. A holding penalty brought that one back, and then Hasselbeck threw an interception, and he got called for a low hit on the return. Remember that? And that was when that rule was new, and people were like, wait a minute, Hasselbeck's called a penalty after he throws an interception? And there was a lot of confusion, a lot of anger. Seattle fans still think they got jobbed in that Super Bowl to this day. And I remember showing up at the Pro Bowl, and Hasselbeck, who could not have been more affable and delightful and friendly and a friend, was truly upset. He goes, where was Pereira on your show today? I was tuning in to see him. He has to account for this stuff. Where is he? Oh, I get it. It's because the NFL wants to hide him. I get it. He called it, it's no longer NFL Network. I'm going to call it NFL's Network. He actually did refer to it as the Al Jazeera of sports, is what he said to me. And I realized around the pool at the Pro Bowl in beautiful Hawaii, he was not joking. So I remember I texted Pereira. I'm like, are we going to do this week or what? I'll do it from Hawaii. And he's like, I'm already on vacation. Next week. I'm like, oh, boy. Yikes. We did do it next week. We did, but not quick enough for Matthew's desire. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. We'll take some phone calls. Would you believe Tom Brady's retirement and who he's retiring with is a story in itself now? Good Lord. Can the man just say I'm going away in peace or what? Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com.
Want a smoother contour and more youthful-looking cheeks? Rediscover a younger-looking you by adding volume to the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC, part of the number one selling collection of dermal fillers based on January 2022 provider survey data. With help from Juvederm Voluma XC and a licensed specialist, you can achieve a more youthful cheek look completely customized for your goals. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Back here in our radio network, Brockman, you're saying somebody actually said I have been to the spot where Tom Brady shot his retirement. I'm retired for good video. I picked up some sand and I'm selling the sand.
Put it in a plastic bag, selling the sand on eBay.
What are we doing?
Yeah, because these buildings are so distinctive from South Florida because they look like every other one. Oh, and those dunes. Come on, man. Get out of here.
It did look like the spot. Let me just go back.
Get out of here. But that's crazy. You know, when I was a kid, you know what I had somebody gave me for my birthday? They gave me something called Elvis sweat. It was this little vial of liquid, of clear liquid.
Elvis. You still have it?
Of course not.
What?
But it wasn't it.
How do you know?
My Titanic coal is Titanic coal.
But it was actual liquid that filled up half of the vial, and it was called Elvis sweat.
Elvis sweat a lot.
Yeah.
All the concerts he did, all the towels that the Colonel would get him. You wring the sweat out, put it in the vial, you sell it to guys.
Yeah, and sell it to a kid in Staten Island who's nine.
I mean, fat Elvis really sweat.
Yeah. The end of the career.
Thank you very much.
Are people really buying sand because this person says I collected it at the spot where Tom Brady shot his retirement video? That's crazy.
What are we doing?
You know what? It's totally crazy too. Is believe it or not, Tom Brady, and who he retires with is important.
Oh yeah.
Bob Kraft was on CNN this very morning. You know, clearly stating what you would want and the entire Patriots Nation wants. Like, okay, glad you had your 3-year, you know, trip down to Florida, Central Florida. Hey, all of us here in New England, many of us moved down to Florida. As a matter of fact, you know, I think Bob's got a spot in Florida, as we know. Right? So this is what he had to say about Brady retiring.
Are there any plans, Bob, to make sure that he retires? Are you going to sign him to a one-day contract?
Do you want him back?
Yeah. To retire a Patriot.
I'll do it tomorrow.
For him to retire a Patriot is the question.
Not only do I want it, our fans are clamoring for it. And to us, he is always has been and always will be a Patriot. And we will be bringing him back after I have not. I don't like to make a commitment for him, but we will do everything in our power to bring him back, have him sign off as a Patriot, and find ways to honor him for many years to come, because he did so much to bring life and good cheer to our community, and he's a beloved figure, and he's earned the respect and love that people feel for him like no other athlete in our town. And we've had some great ones.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Nope.
And the Patriot-Brady relationship, we'll see how it plays out. It will no doubt, unquestionably wind up in a terrific place. Deserves to be, and they'll get there if there is any still reparations that need to be made. Who the heck knows? But he's got to sign a one-day deal and retire or stay and retire with the Bucks, right? Because if he doesn't, he leaves the Bucks somewhat hamstrung cap-wise, correct? And this is one of the things we're going to ask Rick Stroud when he joins us later on this program in hour number two from the Tampa Bay Times. Like, the Bucks kind of need him to retire a Tampa Bay Buccaneer when it all comes down to it.
Yeah, so Mike Florio had a story. It will help them out cap purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah, along with a $35.1 million cap charge for 2023. That's not the money that the Bucks owe him. It's what they had previously paid him.
Right.
But that's kind of how the cap works in. They need to sign. If they do sign him before for the minimum and then process his retirement after June 1st, it basically saves the Bucks a bunch of dead cap money.
Or he could just be, hey, I gave you your 3 years. Old Lang Syne, I got to sign. I got to
trophy in the case.
I got to do a ceremonial signing up in New England. I kind of owe it to them. I don't think he's going to do that.
Don't either.
He's going to retire a Buck. Do we even remember that stuff? When he walks out in his red jacket in the Patriot Hall of Fame weekend that he's there for? You know? When he walks out in his gold jacket and you go into that bus room forevermore and you see the Patriots line on his plaque, on his, you know, his stand? Of course not. But Bob would like it. I don't think he's getting it. That would be wild if Brady's like, he's going to stick him with a $30 million dead cap charge because he's got to sign a one-day deal. Or can he retire with the Bucs, do that, and then sign another one-day, come out of retirement, and then sign another one-day deal with the Patriots? Can he do that? Why not?
Let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to read this story real quick.
Here's what.
Basically, Brady would be doing the Bucs a solid.
Of course.
By
and I think he will.
Right? Also, if he does this, it would prevent him from joining another team if he changes his mind about playing next year, also. He'd be under contract with the Bucs.
Oh.
Because they would put him on the reserve retirement
list.
Right.
So it would be.
And then they would have to take him off the list.
So the Patriots would have to get compensation if he wants to come back to play for the Dolphins, for instance. This is pretty important,
yeah,
it's, by the
like,
way.
It's like paperwork type stuff that like nobody ever really thinks about.
Here's what he should do. He should take care of the Bucs, then unretire for a day. Have me come on this show, make that announcement. Have me ask him his plans. He curses me out.
Like Jim Gray.
And then retires the next day. And then shoots it in a spot where somebody collects sand and says, I'm selling this sand because trust me, it's from that spot. This is nuts. Can Brady just retire in peace and go hang with Lily Tomlin?